recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio broadcast. And as always, we dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the great I Am. We also dedicate it to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian peoples of the world. Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. Today is the 23rd of January, year 2011, and we've entitled today's program, Interview with Cindy Steele. And hopefully they'll be calling in here very, very soon. In fact, I think they already have. If you have a comment or question during this interview, please use one of these two methods to contact us here on the blog screen. If you're listening via audio streaming on your computer, you can type the question in. If you would precede your question with Pastor Space Dan, I can see it quicker because it shows up in yellow on my screen. And if you have the question directed either towards Cindy herself or her attorney, Wesley Hoyt, who is also joining us, you can put that in your question as to who you would like to answer the question. This station handles simultaneous calls up to 300, so feel free to call in as well, either to listen or to ask a question. The call-in number is area code 724-444-7444, and the call ID is 25929. And again, this is going to be an interview with the wife of the attorney Edgar Steele, and I'm sure most of you know that story and what the propaganda has told you, and Cindy and her attorney Wesley Hoyt are here to dispel those rumors, propaganda, etc. Now let me unmute their phones. Okay, Central Colorado, you're on the line. Is this Wesley?
Wesley Hoyt speaking.
Okay, let me turn my volume up here a little bit. Okay, we got Wesley, and let's see. Idaho, is that Cindy?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, hello.
Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me on your program.
Well, we dedicated this program over 10 years ago to our Heavenly Father Yahweh and to truth. And we've interviewed well over 600 people in those years since then, and that's pretty much what we're all about. So, Cindy, if you want to start things off by just giving the listening audience a brief introduction as to who you are and what this is all about, that would be very good at this point.
Well, my name is Cindy Steele. I am the wife of Edgar Steele, who is currently being railroaded by the government. I'm the person that had a bomb on my car for 3 weeks last May and June in 2010. I was driving around 18 days with that bomb through Idaho, Washington, and Oregon with one of the largest pipe bombs ever seen by the B-8 TF&E. And the FBI didn't tell me or take any action to protect me or the public. And neither did the guy who attached the bomb to my car, who was Larry Fairfax, or his attorney, Judge James Michaud, or Fairfax's accomplices, didn't warn me about the bomb.
How did you come to know who put it on there?
After he was arrested after the day that I found the bomb on my car.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, but yet, through this, the FBI has tried to persuade me that Fairfax is really the good guy. This Idaho pipe bomber, they are trying to convince me that he is really the good guy who tried to save my life.
Boy, that's a stretch.
Well, it is, and I don't believe that planting a bomb on anybody's car or anything and then failing to tell them that there, you know, that there's this explosive device that could kill them is within the definition of a good guy.
Correct.
You know, this was attempted murder, and they are refusing to charge him with attempted murder or any other serious offense. And in fact, on February 7th, 2010, at the federal courthouse in Coeur d'Alene, instead of receiving the 2011, he's going to have a sentencing hearing, and instead of receiving the 20 to 30 year sentence he so richly deserves, Fairfax will be sentenced to serve no more than 18 months in a country club penitentiary. And he's going to get credit for time served since his arrest on June 15th when I found the bomb on my car last summer. And he's likely going to serve less than a year.
Let me ask you, Cindy, if you or I had put a bomb like that on somebody's car, how long would we be rotting in jail?
Well, you know, the 20 to 30 years is only for the manufacturing and possession of firearms, as they put it. I'm not sure what the sentence is for attempted murder, but a lot more than that.
Can I please address that? This is Wesley Hoyt. I'm Cindy's attorney, and Pastor Dan, I'm very grateful to be on the show with you this morning and have an opportunity to present the truth to your audience. But you've asked the ultimate question in this case. If you or I did that, or if Edgar Steele did that, and that's really the question here, is did Edgar Steele, did Cindy's husband arrange to have that bomb put on her car, and they are trying to put Edgar Steele away for the 20 to 30 years, but the man who actually did it, who had a motive, you'll see, I think the story will come out that this Mr. Fairfax, actually, who admitted that he put the bomb in the car, he was going to get the sweetheart of a plea bargain deal, he's the one that is the culprit and had stolen significant property from the Steeles and was trying to cover it up. That's what's really going on here, is you've got a thief who was trying to cover up his theft by accusing Mr. Steele of plotting a murder against his wife and his mother-in-law, which is totally phony. You'll hear how phony it is in just a minute. I mean, you know, they federal government cannot get the story straight. They keep telling different stories every time they open their mouth. They're lying. And they change what they say is the motive for the crime over and over again because it doesn't fit. It can't happen. It's impossible. And so they keep changing the facts to try and, or the allegations to try and fit the facts. And the facts are that Edgar Steele is completely innocent, and his wife is the victim of this neighbor who was their handyman, who worked for them and stole a lot of property from them and then turned around and, in order to cover it up, blamed Mr. Steele for a murder-for-hire plot. And it looks like he intended to have the bomb blow Mrs. Steele up so that there would be no one to complain. So you asked the right question. They're wanting Mr. Steele to spend 20, 30 years in jail for this fictitious crime, and the man who really needs to spend the time in jail is Mr. Fairfax, who is the government witness, and also, you need to know, as the government informant, he is being treated with kid gloves, and actually he's being paid. They are allowing him to keep the booty. What he stole from the Steeles, he gets to keep, because they won't prosecute him for his theft. So it's well over $40,000 in cash that he stole from them. Actually, it was silver savings in their home. And he gets to keep that because the government, this is the way they do things now. This is the new technique. What we have to understand is they have a playbook that that they're operating by, and they're doing these cases over and over again, putting innocent people in jail. So, and why are they doing that? Because they have to pay back the revenue bonds on the prison industry, and that's a whole other topic, Pastor Dan, and we'd love to talk about that some other time. But let me turn the time back over to Cindy. I'm sorry for monopolizing.
That's okay, Wesley. Look, I got two quick questions, though. One, is this Fairfax character Jewish by any chance? That's what one of the listening audience want to know. And the other thing I would like you to tell me, this sounds so much like the case against Richard Butler when Edgar was defending him so many years ago. It sounds almost identical. Your comment?
Yes. Number one, frankly, we don't know if Mr. Fairfax is Jewish, but we will say this. He is related to, he's a cousin of Bill Marn, who is the comedian, and it turns out that another cousin by the name of James Marn is also a neighbor of Mrs. Steele's home, very close to Mrs. Steele's home. And this James Marn, it turns out, was an accomplice of Mr. Fairfax. What it looks like is Fairfax stole the money and then thought, oh, I got to cover this up. Went to his cousin, James Marn, the neighbor, and the two of them went out on a mission to try and see why the bomb hadn't blown up and a bunch of crazy stuff. And it looks like they may even have involved their famous cousin, the comedian, in this deal somehow or other. But the evidence hasn't come out yet, and the trial is on March the 7th. And that's what we're shooting for here. We're getting ready for trial, and we're trying to hire the most qualified attorney to defend Edgar Steele, because even though the government has egg on its face and is should be embarrassed and turn tail and run, they are standing up to this case and pretending that it's a valid case. And so that forces Edgar Steele, who's been in jail for 7 months, in solitary confinement, isolated and silenced, and that's one of the things they accomplished by arresting him, was silencing Edgar Steele.
That was
and so you have a situation where Mr. Steele can't even speak for himself, can't participate in his own defense, and it's part of the game that the government plays. What they did when they arrested him is they said, okay, well, they had a bond hearing. They said, this man doesn't deserve a bond because he had a, quote, list. A list of people that he was going to kill, including his wife and mother-in-law, and therefore he's a danger to the public and we can't let him go. Well, the truth is that they pull this list business out every time they arrest an innocent person and put him in jail. I represented a man back in in the year 2005, same exact scenario. He was innocent, but to hold him in jail so he couldn't participate in his own defense, they said, oh, he had a list of people he was going to kill, so the judge wouldn't give him a bond. So you've got a bad situation here, and we do have, there are some organizations, the SPLC, which is backed by a lot of Jewish people, and then you have the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, that was actively putting out death threats against Edgar Steele and his wife, Cindy, back during the, from the year 2000 on, after he represented Richard Butler. You're going to hear more about this from Mrs. Steele, and I'm sorry, I do not mean to take away from her case. This is her story. I'm representing Mrs. Steele strictly because she was denied her rights as a victim of this, the Idaho pipe bomber, this Larry Fairfax. The government would not honor her rights, and I had to come in and represent her to make them honor her rights as a victim, to make sure that she was not being made worse by this case.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, we're going to lift both you and Cindy and the whole family up in prayer, both during the program and off air. The members of our community, Israelite community, are all going to keep you guys in our prayers, obviously. You're in the thick of the battle with the beast, and most of us that know this message know what that's like, and we're very familiar with the travesty that was done to Edgar because of his defense of Richard Butler and what happened to Richard Butler and the people up there in Idaho. So we're very familiar with all that. And Cindy, we have hogged the mic here for a while, so we're going to turn it back to you and let us tell us what you want us to know here.
Well, Well, I appreciate Wes's input because he can talk about things that I don't have the ability to, and can give some sides of the what is happening here. But besides trying to give this Fairfax this soft plea deal, because he being the government's fall guy and trying to convince me that Fairfax is this good guy, they are also, the FBI has done their best to try to persuade me with false evidence that my husband, of 25 years, we've been married for 25 years, and whose life in the last 6 months prior to his arrest, I had not done saving after four surgeries. He was very sick. Two of his surgeries were life-threatening, one aortic aneurysm and another aneurysm in his head, which was, it's a miracle of God that he lived through those. And they're trying to convince me that he is the bad guy who supposedly plotted with Fairfax to kill me and my mother.
Well, it shows the hypocrisy. You know, in the book of Luke, it tells us that the children of Yahweh are to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And we all know that Pharisees and Sadducees are basically euphemisms for the modern-day Jews. It says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And Yahshua, Jesus the Christ, also told us that we could judge people by their fruits. And these people are obviously humongous hypocrites and liars and bear nothing but dirty, rotten fruit. And I think too many people just forget the significance. When you're dealing with Jews who pray the Kol Nidre prayer every year, which allows them to lie under oath, our people need to be aware of the fact you're dealing with Satan's own kids. These people have no conscience. They are hypocrites. They will manufacture anything. I mean, you are talking about the lowest of low as far as people's character when you're talking about people of the Jewish faith.
Well, and that's why, I really want to proclaim my gratitude and have through this whole thing here and now, and thank God, because that lethal bomb, I thank God because that lethal bomb did not explode when I drove over a pothole or a bump in the road, or if it had gotten too hot during, that 3 weeks. Because, I was told that by the BATF&E special agent, Todd Smith, that lethal pipe bomb could have killed everyone around me, just not me, if it had exploded. And I was going through traffic. I traveled over 1,000 miles, passing schools, hospitals, business areas, residential areas. And a lot of, it wasn't just me that was in danger. There was a lot of people that were also in danger and could have been hurt if that had exploded and could have died. And God is good, and he does perform great miracles in the lives of his people. And he performed a great miracle for me and the innocent people around me during those 3 weeks in May and June.
Absolutely. We if it wasn't for our Heavenly Father and his miracles and his protection, we'd all be in sad shape. The thing that gets me is the hypocrisy of this whole thing. Edgar Steele is accused. He's not guilty yet, but he's been accused of supposedly a conspiracy, and yet the man who actually made the device and threatened multiple people's lives is being treated with kid gloves. What does that tell you? It's an inside job. He's working for them. And these people brought down two, three buildings in New 2001, killing over 3,000 people. They have no conscience. In order to get their agenda through, they will kill multiple thousands of people. So it doesn't surprise me that they would pull a stunt like this. But what surprises me is the obvious hypocrisies not evident to other people. I mean, the media and the people at large seem to be unable to think anymore.
They won't, you know, the local media won't. The only thing that they're printing is anything that is, I lost the word.
Detrimental to
anger. Vilifying, I mean, victim,
It's propaganda. Whatever the government puts out, they print. We actually had, in my other case, Pastor Dan, we actually had a publisher tell us, we were trying to say, why don't you guys print the truth? Why won't you at least print the opposition? Print what we say about the case instead of just what the government says. And they said, no, we and all the rest of the newspaper people in this country, we only print what the government puts out because then we're safe.
You know, I've been trying to get the Bonner Daily Bee to print a response that I wrote to an article that they put in, and it's been a month, and they have yet to print that because they only want to give the government side. They don't want to give my side to be able to put out what's really going on with this case.
Pastor Dan, you got to know that this Bonner County Daily Bee, which is the local newspaper up there in the Sandpoint area, promised that they would print an article if she would. She wrote a rebuttal to one of their articles, and it was about over 1,000 words. And they said, if you can cut that to 500 words, we'll print it. Well, that was what, 3 weeks ago, Cindy?
Well, yeah, it was a good 3 weeks ago because the article was printed on December. Their article was printed on December 17th, and it probably took me no more than a week to get that written.
Well, you know what, Pastor Dan, one thing that needs to be said here, because of what you guys talked about a second ago, is this whole Fall Guy concept and why they're giving such a sweetheart deal and treating this man with kid gloves. And the answer is the government needs Larry Fairfax now to cover up for them. You see, she was driving around for 3 weeks with this lethal pipe bomb, the largest one seen by the BATF&E ever. And if it had blown up, it would have done so much damage. They can't afford, the FBI cannot afford to be exposed for knowing that she had this bomb in her car. But what is amazing is that it was discovered immediately before she went to the courthouse for a scheduled court appearance when her husband was appearing in court. It was on the 15th day of June. And what happened was that she went to an oil change garage because she had a little extra time. They discovered the bomb, called her. She got under the car and, oh, my goodness, what is this, and so on. But the point is, if it hadn't been for that intervening event, if the Lord hadn't intervened and she hadn't had this inspiration to get the oil change, she would have driven up in front of the federal court building with that bomb under her car. Now, we, Pastor Dan, we can imagine what the consequences of that might have been, but here's the real issue. Did the FBI know, and was it the FBI that wanted her to drive her car in front of that courthouse with that bomb under the car for some diabolical, unexplained purpose? Think about the Christmas tree bomber just less than a month ago in Portland, where the FBI manufactured the bomb. The FBI funded Mohammed, Osman Mohammed. They encouraged him to do this. Of course, he's a young Muslim, and he thought maybe this would be a good way for him to get some fame, I guess. I don't know. He participated in it. But they funded and created the whole crime. Then the FBI shows up, and they saved the whole country or Portland from this horrible event that they created themselves. It's like a fireman who goes and lights a fire, and then goes back to the firehouse and comes out with a fire truck and puts it out and claims credit for it. There's a name for that, and if one of your listeners happens to know, there's actually a psychological condition for somebody that has to do that. But the point is, you just wonder, what did the FBI intend? Well, they can't afford to be exposed right now to the truth, which is they knew about this bomb for that 3 weeks, and so therefore the FBI is using Mr. Fairfax, their fall guy, as a witness to say, oh, well, I forgot. See, he came forward. He's got a judge representing him. Imagine that, a judge acting as an attorney representing this criminal who has a long, long history of cheating people. He talk about a lowlife. This guy cheated insurance companies, burned down his house, dropped a tree on his truck, and got insurance money for the house, insurance money for the truck, all kinds of cases of people that he went to work for and cheated him. He is really a lowlife guy. And so he's represented by this judge who, by the way, ended up coming to a court hearing and testifying in his favor. Now, when do judges testify to the character of people? This case has got so much craziness in it, Pastor Dan, you can't even understand what's going on. But they really wanted to treat him with kid gloves. So the point is, on the 8th of June, so that's 7 days prior to the date that Cindy Steele discovered the bomb, on the 8th day of June, the FBI supposedly gets a call from Judge Michaud, who says, oh, I've got a client, and he's been involved in some criminal activity, and he's going to come forward. Well, you'd think he would have told him about the bomb, but no, he keeps that a secret. He says, this is the key, this is why they need the fall guy. He is now pretending that he didn't tell the FBI about that, so the FBI can use plausible deniability and say, oh, we didn't know about that bomb on the 8th day of June. Well, the truth is that we think the FBI knew full well about the bomb, but considering the amount of public risk that they exposed the people from three states to this bomb by not informing Mrs. Steele, not going out inspecting the vehicle, not taking the bomb off the car prior to the day she found it on the 15th at the oil change garage, we think that they know how much trouble they'll be in, and so they've got to have Larry Fairfax testify for them that, oh, gee, I didn't tell. Gosh, I promised to come forward, and the judge told him I was going to tell the whole truth and give him all of the criminal enterprise that I've been involved in, but no, I just couldn't. I forgot. I didn't tell him about the bomb. I mean, what kind of a stupid story is this guy going to tell? The point is that the FBI was setting up something, and they have really, they've been caught, and they have egg on their face, and they have to have this fall guy. So they have to treat him with kid gloves, don't you see?
Right. You know, as I'm listening to all this, it's paramount that people understand at the root of all this is our disobedience to our father, and part of that disobedience is we disobeyed George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, who told us that we'd have nothing but travail if we allowed the Jews into here, because every European country has kicked them out through the centuries at least once, many of them twice or three times, because of their nefarious deeds. And we just don't learn that lesson. We're dumber than rocks in this country. And we seem to think this multiculturalism and everything, and we've accepted this white guilt. And it's crazy. It's destroying us. These people do these kinds of things, and we will never have a free press in this country as long as it's controlled by Jews. It's just never going to happen, and people have to learn that. Even in the scripture, if the churches today would only teach the truth, our Messiah told us that many things were done, and the prophets even talked about it. And even in the days of Christ, when he walked with us, they did things for fear of the Jews. In fact, Messiah himself even at times left crowds for fear of the Jews. That's the kind of power they have. That's the kind of lying and subterfuge that these people are involved with. And why today we don't seem to understand that. Instead, we listen to these lying preachers, these detestable, pusillanimous preachers sitting there telling us that they're God's chosen people when the book of Obadiah tells us what they're chosen for? Utter destruction. Obadiah verse 18, utter destruction. These people, anything that they have their hands into will be involved with intrigue, assassination, bribery, lying, propaganda. And so you're never going to get the truth out there, and you're never going to be playing on a level playing field when you're dealing with them. And we have to learn how to fight. We have to do like one Christian friend of mine down in Alabama told me one time. We got to learn to take the gloves off. We keep thinking we're fighting a fair fight with somebody who's wanting to do this fight on level terms. We have to understand we're dealing with criminals. Criminals. And we got to learn to take the gloves off. Okay, I'm done ranting. You guys can have the mic back.
Well, you know, and that's, you know, the FBI is doing its best to cover up what they have done. You know, they're trying to cover up what they have done and their participation in this by breaking up my family. You know, they've been keeping my husband in solitary confinement in the Spokane County Jail without bond for the last 7 months. They insist that he is a liar and that he's guilty of this murder for hire plot. And you know, all my husband's adult life and a 27-year legal career, it has been based on integrity. I've been married to him for 25 of that 27 years. He's a First Amendment lawyer who's represented many political incorrect people, you know, who have also been falsely accused by the government of crimes that it did not exist or crimes those people didn't commit.
Right.
And
Cindy, let me ask you real quick.
Go ahead.
What's the best thing that folks, we've got a large number listening in live, but we're going to have a bigger number that are going to listen to the downloads of this program later on. What is it we can do, those of us that love the truth and justice and know what's really going on in this world, what can we do for you and Edgar?
Dan, let me first address that, because I don't think that Mrs. Steele really likes to ask for money, but that's really what it comes down to. Filthy lucre, I'm sorry, but we're just over a month away from trial. We're trying to hire the best attorney qualified to do it. We've raised almost $70,000. We need $250,000, not just for the attorney, which is very important. We also need the money because we have to hire expert witnesses. We have to hire an audio expert because they have these phony tapes that they ginned up that they took Ed's voice off of the internet and then they remixed it. And you can take somebody's words and they'll be saying anything in a moment. There's a funny article that says, they can take your voice and in just 5 minutes they can have you claiming that you murdered 100 nuns and you're about to blow up the Vatican. I mean, it's crazy, but it's just a few sound bites and then the technology is such that they can manipulate it. Well, they did it in this case, and so we have to have an audio expert. We need an explosives expert. These people are very expensive, and then we need the best criminal defense possible. So $10 would really help. I mean, there's a website, and it is free, www.free-edgar-steele.com. They can go there, and they can see they can do a PayPal and put, you know, if you do PayPal, put $12 on, because they take a couple of bucks out of each contribution. But you know, if you can afford $50 or $100, we have been appealing to people all across this nation, people actually around the world. We've had people respond from as far away as Armenia. We've had money from one gracious man from Canada gave Edgar Steele defense fund $1,000. Somebody from Australia, et cetera. People around the world are beginning to pick up on what's going on here, and we think that this is a matter of enlightened self-interest. Contributing to the Edgar Steele Defense Fund is really helping yourself. Why? Because if we can stop them here, if we can expose them here, then we can prevent them from doing this to other people. I saw them do it in 2005 when I, listen, I'm a former prosecuting attorney. I believe in the system. I believe that, that people who are in the system are generally good people who act in good faith. Well, I have learned differently. I have seen them do horrible things to people. I can't believe that they would do this to people. But the point is that if we can expose this now and say the Edgar Steele case was just a complete fraud, and hopefully we can find all the motives there. We know that they're part of the New World Order stuff, but you know they have a lot of different motives as to why they're doing it, and we already know the connections to the ADL and so on. We start exposing this, you know, the truth, and exposure is the only defense to corruption. So that's what we need, and what if the listeners can afford to send a few dollars to the Edgar Steele Defense Fund, that will really help.
Well, I think everybody, even in these economic hard times, I think everybody could forgo a pack of cigarettes or two and or whatever and send a measly $10. And again, I'm not trying to push people or whatever, because it's, you know, everybody stands before the Father on their own. $10 or more, of course, to free Edgar. Now, what about people that don't have computers? Is there an address that they can send? And what form of donation would you prefer? An address and what type of donation? Check, money order, cash? What would you prefer?
Well, the only thing we don't accept, I don't have the ability to accept, is any credit cards, any form of, any other form is good. And if they don't have a computer, they can send it to the Edgar Steele Defense Fund. And it's, the address is Post Office Box 1255, Sagel, S-A-G-L-E, Idaho, 83860. And I can tell you, I appreciate every dollar because it is helping me in this struggle to free my husband, who is innocent. But I also know that it is going to help to put a stop to what the government is trying to do to him for others that they will try to do in the future if we don't stop them.
Amen, amen. And I'm going to tell everybody something. I've interviewed Edgar several times years ago, when, especially after they started attacking him for defending Richard Butler. Edgar and I became friends, and he gave us some great interviews on this program. I'm going to tell everybody listening, there is no greater warrior in the fight against what's going on in our country, especially by these damnable Jews. And I'm sorry, the scriptures damn them all. I say damn them all. Edgar, there is no greater warrior, people, than Edgar Steele in the fight against what these absolute heinous creatures are doing in our country and in our court system. Anything we can do to extricate him from that damn jail and put him back where he belongs, on the streets, leading the charge to expose these bastards, everything we can do should be done. Now, one of the guests listening in says, another show of support would be for our people to physically attend the trial in as large a numbers as we can do, pack the courtroom with the light of Yeshua Messiah, and dispel the darkness. Amen. I've done that. I've been in the courtroom where there was a sister of our congregation was falsely accused. I've been in the courtroom, and we didn't even pack it. There was, at the time I'm thinking of, there was only five of us in there, and you should have seen the terror in those people's eyes, because they are wicked. Now, Wesley thinks that most of them have good hearts. I'm not so sure if that's a majority or not, but what I do know is that the liars and the cheaters and the misfits that are in there are terrified by the presence of true believers, not the phony ones, not the, I go to church, carry a Bible, but it doesn't do a damn thing in my life. Not those kind. I'm talking about the true believers that understand the scripture that says, be ye a doer and not a hearer only. We got millions of hearers and so few doers. We need more doers. And I can think of no better project for all truth seekers and freedom lovers than to assist in the extrication of Edgar from jail. So, brothers and sisters, I exhort you to think about that heavily and think of either sending the funds or being there for the trial itself.
And that kind of help at the trial helps me, because this is a struggle to stand up to the government and everybody that is trying to put my husband away, to silence him. And, you know, and the lies that I have been told by the government. I mean, one of them is the FBI agent was telling me, oh, my husband isn't that well-known. He, you know, he's not that big of, a presence and world, and they have no reason, doesn't believe in conspiracies. And you know, I understand my husband isn't a Brad Pitt, but, you know, he has people that have listened to him standing up for our First Amendment rights, our freedom to speech, and for the politically incorrect. And, you know, they're trying to make him as a non-important person. I had the FBI agent turn around and tell me how he didn't know who my husband was and before June 8th, and he didn't have a clue, and as he's trying to convince me that he didn't know who my husband was, in the same breath he turns around and says, your husband is a liar. Well, if he didn't know my husband, how can he even make a statement and a judgment on my husband? Because I can tell you my husband is not a liar and has always stood on integrity. And this guy is trying to convince me and break me so that I believe in their lies.
Here's the problem, Pastor Dan. Edgar Steele, his belief system says equal rights for all, special rights for none. The problem is that the people that are attacking him are the people who want the special rights. They want to put others down, and they want to cut everybody else's head off so that they can stand taller. So Edgar Steele is their target, and because he wrote a book called Defensive Racism, in which he is not a racist and doesn't say that he's a racist, but he says acknowledge that there are differences, there are strengths, and there are weaknesses. And because of that, you know, we're all better off, you know. But it's an interesting approach, and he's accused of being a racist by people like the SPCL, that's the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a group that interestingly started out being a bully buster, and they went after some people that were burning churches and burning crosses and lynching people, and they went after some bad people. But then they kind of ran out of bad people, and they're raising a lot of money, and movie stars give money to their organization, and they've got to justify their existence. So they start targeting people, and one of the people they've targeted was Edgar Steele. Well, of course, they're working hand in glove with the ADL, and you need to know, and your listeners need to know, that the Anti-Defamation League was responsible for these death threats. Not only were they death threats against Mr. Steele, but against his whole family, and specifically, there are calls. You can go to the Edgar Steele website that I gave you. That's www.free-edgar-steele.com, and you can listen to these threatening phone calls. They're right on there. And these were turned over to the FBI. This was several years ago. And the FBI investigated it, and they chased it right back to the phone numbers of the Anti-Defamation League, and then the FBI refused to do anything about it because they've sold out to the ADL. They can't go after them. And so one of the threats was against the 9-year-old daughter at that time, their 9-year-old daughter. They called her by name. They left a message on her specific voicemail, and they called her Cupcake and gave her a death threat. Now, we're talking about the lowest of the low making a death threat against a 9-year-old child. What is the problem? Why can't people wake up and see that this organization is a very hateful? They call everybody up. It's the pot calling the kettle black. They're out there calling other people hate mongers when, in fact, they are the hate mongers.
Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Hypocrites, that's what they are. They're Jews. And the Southern Poverty Law Center is headed up by Morris Dees, himself Jewish. It's just another mouthpiece and organ for the Jews, just like the ADL. It's not going to be any different. And lying is all they can do.
Pastor Dan, you need to know that immediately after Edgar Steele was arrested, which was back on the 11th of June, immediately there were negative media reports. The what we call the lamestream media was out there saying that Edgar Steele basically was the leader of the of the Aryan Nations, which is absolutely not true. He's never been a member of the Aryan Nations. He defended them and Richard Butler. But they missed their facts. It doesn't matter if they missed their facts. But they had a fellow by the name of Mark Potok, P-O-T-O-K, who is the head of the intelligence section, that's an oxymoron, of SPLC. And he's the one that has targeted many innocent people, but including Edgar Steele. And he was on, a broadcast. You ought to see it. You can go and actually see that broadcast. Why would the SPLC have been interested in the arrest of Edgar Steele in a purely local matter? I mean, they're from the Deep South. He's from the Pacific Northwest. Unless they were part of the setup, unless they knew it was coming and they helped get it, arrange it, and then Mark Potok wanted to crow about it on the news media when he was interviewed and talking about what a bad person Edgar Steele was and how he was a part of the Aryan Nation and so on. So you can see that interwoven in this little tapestry is the ADL and the SPLC deeply into the plot-making side of it.
Absolutely. It was all hatched at the local synagogue. There's no mystery here. I got some questions from guests here. One guest says, does Edgar plan to take the stand for the reason I mentioned above? And the reason he mentions above is that the SPLC is most likely involved because of the Butler case. Okay, that's one. Guest 17 says, all the more reason for all the warriors of Yahweh to show up. And he's talking about the trial. Warriors, prepare to enter the dark court, you men of Gideon's army. And we've talked about the Gideon army that's forming right now in references to Ezekiel 37. Guest 17 also says, the men of Israel, Gideon's army, who show up for this dark court's battle will be noted by Yahweh himself for future battles. That's a good point. He also says, if the men of Israel will not show up for this battle, they most assuredly are not prepared for any battle outside the dark court. And then another guest says, the Jews are not Israelites, they are Edomites. And everybody listening to this program knows that. Another guest says, Potok is a sex addict. He's Jewish. What do you expect? He's also a pervert, just like Morris Dees is a pervert, the head of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And that case was years ago, and it was brought to court by his own wife. The man's a pervert. And so these people are hypocrites. And the thing of it is, if their lips are moving, you should know they're lying. We all have.
Can I address one thing here?
Certainly.
Okay, and that is, we know that the battle fought by Gideon, the army that reduced itself down to 300, actually never lifted a weapon. In fact, we know how that battle was won, and it was because our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ went out and fought the battle, and the enemy woke up and was so confused by the lights and the noise that they killed each other. Now, it seems to me that we're talking about the same kind of a battle here. We don't have to worry about violence or weapons. What we have to do is be prepared to stand up for the Lord. And when we do, then he fights our battles for us. And that's been his promise over and over again throughout the scriptures. That was the last point that was made. And the first point, can you refresh my recollection, the first caller? He wanted to know if Edgar Steele was going to take the stand. That's a legal question. And, that's not for us to speculate about. It will be decided with his attorney when he's being properly defended. He's only had a public defender so far, and that's a sad situation. But in any event, when he gets real counsel, they will decide whether or not he will testify, and there may be some very good, solid legal reasons for him not to testify, and there may be some really good, solid legal reasons for him to testify. So we don't want to jump the gun on that and try to make some proclamation at this point.
Okay, well, very good. Yeah, we don't want you to do anything that would compromise either Edgar or Cindy in any way, shape, or form. And you're right. We don't necessarily have to take up arms, but we are his battle axe and weapons of war also. And too many times modern-day Christians take on this pacifism, which is completely antichrist. Nowhere in Scripture are we to be pacifists. Nowhere in Scripture does our Father expect us not to have weapons and know how to use them. Everything in Scripture points to that. In fact, in the book of Luke, he specifically told his disciples to go out and buy swords. Why? Because he was leaving. When the Yahweh himself was walking with us, of course you don't need a weapon. But he knew he was leaving, and they would have to defend themselves against heinous creatures such as this. And so all the way through the history of our people, clear up into the founding of this country, we were armed. In fact, before we even became a country, they went to church carrying a Bible in one hand and a musket in the other. So right at this moment, it may not be time for weapons, but don't ever think, ladies and gentlemen, that you shouldn't be skilled in the use of weaponry and know the ways of war, because Scripture tells us the day may come when indeed we will have to do that. But Wesley's right. Right now is not the time. Our Heavenly Father will pick that time, not a mortal man, not me, not anybody else. And right now, this battle is in a courtroom, and as many of these guests have said here, our people need to respond. If they can't make it to the courthouse, then you can send $10. That's all we're asking. Send $10 to Edgar's Defense Fund, P.O. Box 1255. Again, that's 1255. Sagel, S-A-G-L-E, Sagel, Idaho. The abbreviation for Idaho is I-D, Indigo, Delta. And the zip is 83860. And here, I'm going to let the folks know, we're in a battle. And as Psalm 91 tells us in many other scriptures, when we will get off our keisters and take action, then the Father steps in to assist. But if you're going to sit on your butts and just kind of hope all this will go away, you're crazy, because it ain't. And you're not going to get raptured out of here, because there is no such thing as a rapture. You're in this for a reason. And things like this happening to Cindy and Edgar are the reason we are supposed to be taking charge. We should be stepping in and taking these scoundrels by the neck and throwing their sorry asses in jail. Instead, they're telling us what we have to do. We need Edgar out of there, and we need to support people like Edgar, his attorney, and Wesley, and Cindy, and every other person out there that's taking the blows. Just because it hasn't happened to you yet, don't think it's going to escape you forever. This fight is for all of us, and we either sink or swim as a team. So remember that, ladies and gentlemen, we're family. One of our family members is in jail undeservedly, and he's being lied to. His family and the rest of the world lied because he had the audacity to print the truth about what the Jews are doing. And that's even more evidence of their control in this country and their nefarious activities, is the fact that somebody with the intelligence and integrity of Edgar Steele goes after their sorry rear ends and exposes them, and then this kind of stuff happens. It's the same scenario over and over and over. The only problem, folks, is that we're the missing piece. You can't be upset when people that for 6,000-7,000 years, the Bible tells us these people have been our enemies. All through Scripture, the sons of Satan are our enemies. You can't be upset when they do these things. What's upsetting is that the people on the right side of the fence aren't doing anything about it. So we need to get off our butts and assist. We got a couple comments here. W. Ron says, Pastor Dan, make sure that all those who go to court are prayed up and have fasted. That's our weaponry. Amen. That's a good point there. We've got another comment here. Pastor Dan, you go, Pastor Dan. Obedience to Yahweh is to hear and do. That means show up for the battle. Get off your sluggish butts and show up. And then another comment is, the temple of the Holy Spirit resides in the bodies of men of Israel, the breath of life himself, Yahweh. If you're a no-show, so is he. And that's exactly right. If you want our Heavenly Father to assist, then you got to do something, all right, folks? You've got to do something. So if you can't be at the courthouse, then do everything you can to get this message out. This program today is being recorded, and it's a free download as an MP3 file, which means it can be played in car stereos. It can be put on a disc and played in MP3 portables. It can be played over computers. It can be emailed. Come on, get the word out. Send it out there and get this message out about what's happening here. Now's the time. There is no better time. If not now, when? People, how much more damage do we have to sit back and watch in our country? They destroyed two major buildings and a third just down the street in New York City, in the midst of our country. They pulled that stunt off. It was an inside job, and you know it. These people are demonic. And here's a case where we can defend one of our own, and we should do that. All right, I've ranted enough. Go ahead, Cindy and Wesley, if you've got more to say.
Well, one of the things that I want to say in a comment to one of your earlier comments, as much as my husband spoke out against the injustice coming down on us and our country by these people, he always advocated it be done through nonviolence. He never advocated that we pick up arms and start a riot or anything. He always advocated it through nonviolence, that we do it through, you know, the system. Even though he knew the system was broke, he believed in the system the way it was originally created and was working towards that. I want to point out that, you know, this has been coming down, and I'm wrapped up in the SDLC, the ADL, that are after him, been after him, and we talked about those death threats, and I really would like people to go and listen to them, because one of the other things that was said on there, the death threat that I personally took, was that they said that they know that the FBI wants us dead. And when you go to the website of free-edgar-steel.com, if you can find those death threats under the outstanding analysis of Mr. Steele's frame-up, and you go down and click on the discussion part, and you will find the links to those death threats. But also in that outstanding analysis, you can learn a lot about what has been happening to my husband, how they are trying to split us up. They've been keeping us apart, not allowing him, you know, to defend himself, not allowing me to, making it, not, well, it's not that they're not allowing me, because I am standing up for my husband, because he did not do this, but they are making it as difficult as possible for me to stand up for him and to defend him. And they keep trying to persuade me with lies after lies after lies.
Oh, and then they try, Pastor Dan, get this. They, when they can't get her to lie for them or to change her perspective to see things their way, then the United States attorney comes out in court and says that she is she's not cooperating, she's under the influence of groups. We've even heard the word brainwashed. In other words, they're using all kinds of lies when they can't manipulate Mrs. Steele. When she, all she wanted to do was hear those tapes, and then when she heard them, she said, they're not trustworthy. There's something wrong with those tapes. And she pointed out why, and it's obvious what was wrong with them. They were phonied up. But the point is that they want to try to manipulate her, and when they can't, then they start attacking her. They haven't gone to the point of demonizing her. See, that's part of the technique. That's in the playbook. They actually have an official playbook here. And they've demonized Edgar Steele. They demonized my client, Mr. David Hinkson, back in 2005. The moment that they have the target arrested, then they start in demonizing the individual. And you begin to see this pattern, and when you see the pattern being repeated over and over again, you realize that the whole thing is phony, our government has been taken over by some people who don't believe in what the Founding Fathers wanted.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Our founding fathers are turning over in their grave what is happening to this country.
Oh, amen. Amen to that. I'm sure they got to be spinning at about 118 RPM. I mean, we've completely debauched the greatest nation that ever existed. And we're not talking about great simply in manufacturing and goods. We're talking about a country full of good people with good motives. No, we weren't perfect. None of us have ever been perfect. But we had good motives. We had good goals. And we taught them to our children. And we don't do that anymore. We don't stand for anything anymore.
They hate us for our freedom. And that's what they want to do, is take away our freedom. And the reason they hate us for our freedom is because they don't have any. They are Satan's. They are bound by him. And they are jealous of the fact that we are free because we are the children of our Heavenly Father and acknowledge his hand in all things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I want to go back over a point I made a little bit earlier, which is very important, because they did this in the David Hinkson case. There was a man who was a manufacturer of health products. He had come up with some wonderful minerals and a process to synthesize those minerals so that you could take them and drink the pure mineral if you needed mineral replacement therapy, if you're having a little health problem. And silver, zinc, copper, calcium, all these different minerals. And of course, the FDA got after him because the big pharma felt he was making too much money and so on. And the FBI accused him falsely, and they brought in people to invent crimes that he didn't commit. What's important here is they did the same thing. They got these informants. They allowed the informants to steal from him. He went to report the theft. He had $6,000 of cash travel money that he kept in a secret hiding place. His housekeeper knew where he kept the money. The housekeeper had stolen the money, and he went to report the theft, and he himself was arrested on phony crimes. I mean, it is so amazing to me. See, here's the way it works. The FBI found out years ago, when they used confidential informants, that when they paid a confidential informant to testify, then the jury heard that, they wouldn't believe a word that the confidential informant would say. So what they decided to do is to allow the confidential informant to steal whatever they wanted to from the target and keep it. And the way they got to keep it is they didn't prosecute them. That's the deal with the devil, you know. So in David Hinkson's case, the housekeeper got to keep the $6,000. Nobody ever prosecuted her. And that was her payment for all the lies that she told. And what's interesting is she was one of those liars that she got in so deep, she burglarized a drugstore. She burglarized a U.S. post office. She was committing felonies right and left, and she thought she was exempt. She thought she was entitled because she was a government witness and she could get away with all this stuff. And she committed so many crimes that the government had to back off from her and say, well, okay, we're going to find another liar. And they did. And it's amazing to me how many liars are out there, how many people are willing to sell their soul for a mess of pottage. And so this is what they do. They have these people get close to you, and then when they get close to you, then they can use that as an excuse to say, oh, I heard somebody say that they wanted to murder. They wanted to hire me to murder somebody. This is the murder for hire plot that they use over and over again. It's so easy because it's a hearsay crime. It's so easy to accuse somebody because it's like, you know, who Sir Walter Raleigh was. He was killed. He was murdered. He was executed based on hearsay, and a very famous case. And that's what we're repeating. We have the Bill of Rights to prevent against that, but the New World Order is slowly destroying the Bill of Rights. They bought off Congress, and Congress is enacting laws that eat away at the Bill of Rights a little bit at a time, so that we lose our freedoms. And but anyway, in terms of the judicial system, this is how they do it. They hire somebody, they let them steal, they promise them they won't prosecute them for stealing, and then the person has to come in and testify as they instruct. And the federal government's very effective. In 2005, we really got blindsided, and we didn't know what was going on. We were trying to catch up. We suspected a lot of things, but even the judge in that case was a part of the conspiracy. I mean, the judge wouldn't allow one shred of favorable evidence in favor of David Hinkson admitted into evidence. He just excluded all of that evidence. And it was bizarre. I mean, David Hinkson was in Russia, actually Ukraine. He was overseas at the time he was accused of plotting to kill three federal officials. And the judge would not require the government to produce his passport, which, of course, they confiscated the moment they arrested him. They had it in their custody. His passport would have shown that at the time he's accused of plotting to murder federal officials, he was out of the country and couldn't have done it. But the judge wouldn't. You know what the judge said? He said, well, that would confuse the jury.
Their audacity is incredible.
Yeah, it is. But the point is we now have, you know, what does it say about principalities? We're not fighting against individuals, we're fighting against principalities this is Satan is at the top, and there are so many people that have sold. Did you know that a federal official can get paid for getting somebody convicted? There is a specific statute, a federal statute in Title V, Section 45, 02, 03, and 04, that allow the federal prosecutors, the FBI agents, and even the judges to get paid bonuses if they convict some of these people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's criminal. It's criminal.
It's legalized bribery is what it is. It's not lawful, but it's legalized. That's an interesting distinction. I'm sorry, Mrs. Steele has more to tell you. For instance, she should tell you the story about the motive. The government really tripped themselves up on this one. Wait till you hear this. It is laughable. It is really funny. It's Keystone Cops kind of stuff. Go ahead.
Motive?
Yeah, motive. What did they say your husband's motive was, Mrs. Steele, for wanting to kill you?
Well, the first motive was that it was for the life insurance. And, well, I knew there was no life insurance. We had canceled our life insurance a few years ago once our children were grown. It was an expense we decided we couldn't afford. Our children were grown, so we had canceled it. There was no life insurance. When they finally admitted that there was no life insurance, then they accused me of having a boyfriend and an affair. They said that my husband had an investigator following me and that there were pictures. And I'm looking at them and going, well, that I thought, I mean, they were crazy because I knew that there were no pictures because there's never been any boyfriend. And then they finally admitted that, oh, well, apparently he wasn't having an investigator follow you and there are no pictures. Well, I knew that. When those motives didn't work out, they have now moved on that my husband has a girlfriend. Well, you know, that is so wrong on all levels. He does not have a girlfriend. I know that 100%, but what they're going on is that he was working a case where he was working to bring down a Russian bride human trafficking case. And I knew all about it. He was doing investigation and discovery of all these Russian girls that try to set up American men to send them money and to bring them over to the United States and then basically dump the person that has sent him gifts and so forth. And he was working for a client that had been scammed by them, and he was trying to bring this down. I knew all about it. I know what it was about, but they're trying to use a case that he was working on as if he has a girlfriend. And they won't back off on it, even though I know what it's about. And, you know, and then there's the fact that for the whole, I mean, since November 2009, my husband was extremely ill. He could hardly function.
Right.
But they still keep trying to push that.
Well,
they need a motive, and they don't. The problem is they don't have a motive because my husband does not have a reason. I'm his best friend. I've been his rock, his support, and the problem is they're running out of lies to be able to tell, and because it's not true what they're trying to convince me of, persuade me of.
Yeah, they're cretins. They're despicable. They're cretins. That's what we've been on the air for over 10 years to wake people up to this nonsense. That criminal case against an innocent woman in our congregation that was the foundation of this radio program. I realized when I went to court and saw the machinations of these heinous creatures that there was no freedom left in my country. My country that I grew up in and studied in school was gone. My founding fathers, the country they established, was gone. An alien had crept in amongst us, and they took over. And so we have to take it back. Now, we're 15 minutes past the hour, so I'm going to need to wrap it up today. But what I would like Cindy and you, Wesley, to do is please stay in touch with me. And if you would like to do a part two, a part three, a part four, whatever, or just come on and tell us what's happening, please, you have an open invitation on any Wednesday night or Sunday morning to be on this radio program.
That's great. We will love to be back with you again. And let me just say, if there are any of your congregation who are willing to make a contribution but are a little bit afraid of somehow having that tracked to them, what a person can do is go and buy a money order, put the name The Edgar Steele Defense Fund on it. It is actually a nonprofit corporation, The Edgar Steele Defense Fund. So make it payable. Buy the money order, make it payable to the defense fund, put it in the mail anonymously. The money would be greatly appreciated, and the person won't have to worry about having Big Brother at their door. I mean, we've gotten to the day when it's wise to be paranoid. I hate to say it, but I think that's the truth.
Well, the scriptures told us there was a day like this coming, and so we're in the middle of it. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, and if you can, I mean, I want to say that I appreciate donations. And if you can help, it will help my husband. It will help all of us. It will help you to not have to face this. But if you can't, get the word out, because by getting the word out and exposure is also going to help letting more people know about the injustice. Supporting me in the courtroom, supporting my husband in the courtroom, and letting people know that we're out here to stand up for justice.
Absolutely. Would you let the where will the trial actually be? I don't think we've talked about the physical location for folks that aren't quite sure.
Let me address that if I can quickly. There's a couple of things I want to wrap up with. Number one, you've got the trial is set to be in the Federal District Court in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and that is to start on the 7th of March. We don't know, and we have to keep advised at the website, which is www.edgar-steele, S-T-E-E-L-E, I'm sorry, www.free-edgar-steele, S-T-E-E-L-E.com. Now, if you go there, you'll have updates. If the trial gets moved, which we don't expect it to, nobody in our camp is believing that the case is going to be continued. So we're expecting a trial on March the 7th. And so if they can plan to be in Idaho for this and show up and be a part of the observers in the courtroom, that would be great. There's an important point here that putting away people like Edgar Steele helps the worldwide banker cartel that's trying to bankrupt the nations of the world in order to form a world government. And so freeing Edgar Steele would put another voice out there who's very intelligent and very capable of putting up a meaningful defense and resistance to this. Friday, on one of the talk shows by Alex Jones, he mentioned that there's a V for Victory campaign, like the French resistance to the Nazis, where people are adopting the V sign and putting Vs on buildings and posters and wherever it's legal to put this V, and recognizing the global movement against liberty in favor of tyranny. And we are becoming a police state in this country. So, you know, if we can do anything, defending Edgar Steele, I think, is a frontline defense for everybody. And then joining in other movements, I think we have to be united. That's the problem. A lot of people like to sit back and pick at others who are asserting leadership right now. I think we all need to get together and overlook our minor faults and say this is a bigger than all of us, and we need to work together. So V for Victory for all of us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for today, folks. And again, this has been an interview with Cindy Steele, the wife of Edgar Steele, who's wrongly accused and imprisoned at the moment. Edgar's been a guest on this program many years ago and gave us wonderful interviews. I can think of more stellar an individual and warrior for the truth. The other guest, of course, is Wesley Hoyt, the attorney for Cindy. Keep us all in prayer, folks. Keep these folks, keep me, keep the ministry, and all those on the front lines. Keep us in your prayers. The prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. The scriptures tell us that. And these are trying times. Keep us all in the prayers and stay on your toes. And be involved. As Cindy said, get the word out. If you can't afford the $10 or you can't travel to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, then get the word out. There's something we can all do. Or, as Wesley was talking about, print out one of those V signs and hang it somewhere in a conspicuous location where people will see that there is a resistance growing in this country. It can be almost fun. You have to sneak around and you have to, you know, you got enemy. You're in enemy territory. It's not ours anymore. The enemy's already here. As Colonel Don de Grand Pre said on this program, the enemy or the barbarians are already within the gates. That's the title of his book. The enemy's already inside the gates, folks. Get them V signs out there. Do the prayers. Send the money if you can. Go to Quarter Lane or pass the word. The thing of it is, do something. You're going to stand before Yahweh, the Father, one of these days. You cannot stop it. You are going to stand in front of him. He gave you life. That's his gift to us, life. What you do with it is your gift back to him. What kind of gift are you going to present on the day you stand in front of the King of Kings? You better be asking yourself that, folks, because it's coming. Whether you like it or not, it's a coming. Again, Cindy and Wesley, thanks for being on. You're welcome back anytime. Just contact me. Even if we got to schedule a special broadcast on a different day or a different time, that's an option that's also open to you. You're in a struggle. Our hearts go out to you. You're in our prayers. We pray Yahweh bless you and keep you and protect you from all those who would do you harm. And may he grant success, and may he grant good health, and may he free our brother Edgar as soon as possible. And again, thanks for tuning in, folks. We had a record number of guests today, and we also, I'm sure, are going to have hundreds and hundreds of downloads of this program. So get the word out, folks. And again, thanks for being here. And Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and hallelujah.
Thank you.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to call you on your line, okay?
Okay.
I have this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedom and all their liberty had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to war.